Would you pray with me? Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in the middle now of our sermon series on living the whole of life for Christ. And today, we're looking at whole life forgiveness. Our Bible passage opened with Peter asking Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Now, the rabbis of the time had determined that forgiveness should be extended to a person for three transgressions. But the fourth time someone committed the same sin against you, you were free to take revenge on them. So Peter is offering to do more than double what the law would require him to do. So he's being quite generous in saying up to seven times. But Jesus still finds Peter's number very inadequate. He responds that seven is not nearly a high enough number. Jesus tells his disciples to forgive not just seven times, but 77 times. Now, the number, of course, is irrelevant. For Jesus isn't concerned here with establishing a new rigid standard. His whole point is that forgiveness is not about keeping track of somebody's wrongs. It's about going beyond the law, way beyond the law, and responding in love and mercy rather than according to a set of rules. And then to illustrate the point, Jesus tells the story of the unforgiving servant. Here, a servant has somehow fallen into a debt of an absolutely unimaginable size. The king who's owed this money decides to sell the servant and his family into slavery to help pay off some of the debt. So the servant just begs the king for patience and mercy. He promises to pay him back, even though it's impossible. The king, he's moved with compassion, and he goes beyond what the servant requests, and he actually cancels the entire debt. It's a truly remarkable display of generosity and grace. But then, as soon as the servant is forgiven the immense debt that he's owed, the servant himself runs into a second servant that owes him money. And the first servant, instead of showing the same mercy and forgiveness that he was shown, demands repayment of the debt owed to him. And when the second servant pleads for more time, the first servant refuses to offer him any compassion whatsoever, and instead has his fellow servant jailed until the debt is paid. When the king who forgave the first servant hears about what's happened, he's enraged. He orders the unforgiving servant to be arrested and tortured until he could pay up. And since it's virtually impossible for him to pay because the amount was just so large, the implication is that he'll stay in prison until he dies. And with this brief and somewhat shocking parable, Jesus drives home a very simple yet important moral. God has forgiven us far more than we could ever repay, more than we can ever imagine. Therefore, in return, we're expected to extend that same forgiveness to one another. Forgiveness is a necessary part of our Christian life. Ken, please would you just stand up for me? Thank you. Please would you sit back down now? Thanks, Ken. David, stand up straight, look forward, don't speak, pay attention to what I'm going to say, sit down again now. What was the difference in them two interactions? I made a request to Ken to stand up. He didn't have to stand up. He had a choice. I commanded David to stand up. Yes, you could say he had a choice too. But he's married to me, and if he hadn't, he'd been in trouble when he got home. But it was a command. And as Christians, God commands us to forgive. It's not a choice, unless, of course, we want to disobey God. Our passage today ended with these strong words. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And earlier in Matthew Gospel chapter 6, this is what it says. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So why then do many of us struggle a great deal with the whole issue of forgiveness? Why do we? Well, there's probably a variety of reasons for our failure to forgive. But today, I want to just look at three of them. First of all, we can misunderstand what forgiveness means. It's not moving on. Could you move it on for me, Nigel, please? Some people think that if you forgive someone, you are saying what they did was okay. Forgiving someone does not make what they did okay. If someone hits you and you forgive them, it does not mean that hitting you in the first place was okay. Hitting is not okay. So forgiving the offense does not make the offense okay. Secondly, I think we've often failed to understand what the act of forgiveness really is. We have this idea that forgiveness simply means one person saying, I'm sorry, and the other person saying, that's okay, I forgive you, and then it's all over. Now, there's nothing wrong with teaching that sort of behavior to our children. I certainly try to teach our children to say sorry when they mistreated one another. But at some point, we've got to go beyond that starting point. Forgiveness is about much more than just saying, I'm sorry, and acting like the offense never happened. How heavy is a glass of water? I've got one here. In fact, I'll just take a little sip. Well, it depends how long you carry it for. Hold a glass of water for a minute, no problem. After about an hour, your arm might ache. But after 24 hours, you'd probably be in a bad way. In each second, the glass weighs exactly the same. But the longer you carry it, the heavier it feels. And it's the same with a grudge or unforgiveness. It can get so heavy, it can dominate our lives. People will hurt us. That's the reality of sharing this planet with others. Sometimes it's intentional. Other times they've no idea that they've upset us, far less broken our hearts. Does that mean we should go around pretending that nothing's wrong? No. That's when we need to pray, Lord, change my heart and heal me. Jesus said, pray for those who ill-treat you. And when you do that, something unexpected happens. Our hearts soften and we start to see people through God's eyes instead of through our raw emotions. And forgiveness is rarely a single act. Long after you think you've forgiven somebody, you can still be harboring hard feelings. Here are some clues that there's still work to be done. You still get angry thinking about what happened. You give the offender the cold shoulder. You rehearse the incident mentally and in conversation. You seize every opportunity to remind the offender of what they did. Now, the Bible tells us that there are two things God won't share. First is his glory, and second is his right to settle old scores. He said, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay." Don't try to get even. Take your hands off the situation and let God work it out. Unforgiveness or a grudge shackles you to the offender, and you then become the hostage. Dwelling on something your parents did, or how an associate took credit for your work, or what someone said about you or said to you, makes you, not them, miserable. You walk around in turmoil, and they sometimes don't even know you're upset. Why give someone that kind of control over your life? Forgiveness isn't saying that the offense never happened, because it did. Forgiveness is not saying that everything is okay, because everything is not okay. Forgiveness is not saying we no longer feel the pain of the offense. We do. Forgiveness is saying, I still feel the pain, but I'm willing to let go of your involvement in my pain. Forgiveness is an attitude of faith whereby we're able to turn over to God the business of how the other person is doing. It's saying, I'm willing to let God deal with this, and I'm willing to let go of my need to be the instrument of correction and rebuke in your life. And a third reason for our failure to forgive others is sometimes the fact that we're often unable to accept forgiveness ourselves. Because to be forgiven requires at least two important steps. It means, first of all, repenting of what we've done. And secondly, it means accepting the fact that we can be forgiven. We're not perfect, but we can be forgiven. And neither of those are very easy things to do. Repentance is a lot more than saying, I'm sorry. It means admitting that we have done something wrong, and it means committing ourselves to changing our behavior and our attitudes. And once we reach a point where we're able to admit, at least to ourselves, how much we are in need of forgiveness, it can be even more difficult to accept the fact that we are, or even can be, forgiven. Many of us, when we finally come to terms with the things we've done wrong, get stuck with feelings of guilt, feelings of shame, and we very often jump to the conclusion that we are, in fact, unforgivable. But the Bible assures us that we are forgiven. This is what it says in 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God has forgiven us and wants to be reconciled with us. And in order to do that, we need to accept the incredible forgiveness that's been offered to us. We need to recognize that no matter how bad we might think we've been, God has the power to forgive us and renew us. When guilt and condemnation tell us that our sins are too big for God's forgiveness, remember the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the books in the New Testament. He persecuted the church. He killed and tortured believers. And yet when he turned to Christ, he learned to forgive himself for all he'd done. Paul learned to forgive himself, and we too need to learn to forgive ourselves. In fact, when we don't, we're implying that our sins are beyond the scope of God's grace to forgive and Jesus' blood to cleanse us. And then there's an even bigger sin, the sin of pride. God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. When we adopt a humble attitude and work on forgiving ourselves the way God has, it's a lot easier to overlook other people's mistakes. Eva Kaur was born in 1934, a twin with two older sisters. The family were taken by a cattle truck to Auschwitz in 1944. The twins were instantly separated from their parents and siblings, who they never saw again, as the rest of the family were sent to the gas chamber. The twins were involved in horrific twin experiments. They were tortured. They suffered terribly, ordered by Dr. Mengele, who was known as the Angel of Death. Years later, Eva was contacted and asked if she would meet with one of the Nazi doctors from Auschwitz, Dr. Munch, who she discovered deeply regretted his involvement. The clip we're about to watch is actually 14 minutes long. You can find it easily on YouTube. We're just going to watch the last 4 minutes of it. Eva said these words, "What I discovered for myself was life-changing. I had the power to forgive. As a victim of almost 50 years, I never thought that I had any power over my life." She also said, "Forgiveness is an act of self-healing, self-liberation, self-empowerment. We can't change what happened, but we can change how we relate to it." Who do you need to forgive? Understanding that forgiving does not mean we are condoning wrong behavior. And have you really experienced forgiveness for yourself? Do you know that you are really forgiven? These are all things different people have said about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Forgiveness. It's about taking care of your heart. One cross plus three nails equals four given. I'm going to pray now. And as I pray, I'm going to ask God to speak to our hearts about this whole subject of forgiveness. Can I encourage you to be really open to what God might want to say to you personally as we speak to him now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know every incident in our lives from the day each of us were born. You know the hurts we may still be carrying. In the stillness and in the quiet, Holy Spirit, please come and reveal to us in our hearts and minds any person who has hurt us and who we have not really forgiven. For some of us, Lord, we may feel we are able to forgive that person right now. And we choose to do that. We forgive them. If we're not able to forgive that person or people right now, would you help to bring us to the place where we can hand this person over to you? And in doing so, bring release and healing to ourselves. And would you please help us to be able to forgive them? And Lord, sometimes we know in our heads that you've forgiven us for the wrong things we've done. But you know where we haven't really received that forgiveness in our hearts and in our lives, where we're still carrying guilt and shame. Please help us all to accept the truth that you are a faithful and forgiving God. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life so that we can know freedom from guilt and shame, so that we can know forgiveness, because your blood cleanses us and washes us whiter than snow. Help us to receive your forgiveness, and help us to learn to offer that same forgiveness to others. We pray this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.